Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Destination, freedom. The Chicago Defender and station WMAQ bring you Destination Freedom, a new radio series dramatizing the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, interwoven in the pageant of history and a part of America's own Destination Freedom. Today, Destination Freedom brings you the second and last chapter in the story of Frederick Douglass, outstanding editor and leading abolitionist during the Civil War. The chapter entitled, The Key to Freedom.
There were soldiers in the streets and cannon in the valleys. The Civil War was on. Some said it started when Mad Ed Ruffin fired the first gun on Fort Sumter. You said it started when the first slave was brought to Jamestown. Some said it would end when the rebels were beaten. You said there would be no end until the slaves were free. You told that to the tall, tired man in the White House. You made a proposal. President Lincoln listened, looking out towards the river.
Mr. Douglass, you propose first that I arm the slaves. And then that I make this war a war of liberation. Emancipate the slaves. Is that it?
Essentially.
Then I'm afraid you won't like my answer.
You don't like my proposal?
My likes won't dictate my answer. You've been a leader for 20 years in the fight to free the slaves. I know of your own life in slavery. I know how you hate it. I'm with you on that.
Then can't you see the war as a war of ending the slaves?
I see the war in only one way, Douglass, as a way to preserve the Union, not to save or destroy slavery. If I can save the Union without freeing the slaves, I'll do it.
You'd settle the war and leave the slaves untouched?
If it wins the war, I will. Your other requests, too, I've got to turn down. The Union is against arming the slaves. Our enemies say we're waging a war of abolition. We're only waging a war to bring the Union together again.
But, Mr. President...
I know how you feel about this. My feelings I hold to myself. You know that some countries in Europe want to recognize the Confederacy, not us. If they did that, we'd be lost. The border states threaten to go over to the Confederacy if we liberate the slaves. Your enemies in the North would split from us if we abolished slavery. We couldn't win, Douglass. Those are the keys to victory. One bad turn and we lose a Union it took 100 years to build. You had other proposals?
They're useless without freedom. I'll be going.
This puts us on different sides of the street.
It does. Except, one last question. If you could save the Union only by freeing the slaves, would you do that?
I would. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking maybe we're not too far apart. Slavery's a cancer. If it's not cut out of the nation, the Union will die.
If my cabinet believed that, we'd do it. That's not the key as we see it.
It's the one I see. Suppose I visit your cabinet members. Maybe I could prove it to them.
You left the tall, tired man, and you talked to the officers in his cabinet. You had a key that could turn the Union into a fortress slaveholders couldn't touch. You talked to the chiefs of staff. You talked to the Secretary of War. He'd already heard of you.
You want to know what I think of your proposals, Douglas?
I think I've got an idea already.
I'll give it to you in black and white. Clerk?
Yes, sir?
Hand me a copy of the new instructions to our ministers.
Right here, Mr. Seward.
This, Douglas, answers your questions about how the war will end. We're sending it to every government in Europe. It's written so it'll convince even you that we mean to stand by it. Shall I read it?
If you will.
This is our policy. To whom it may concern, no matter how the war ends, the status of no class of the people of the United States will be changed by the rebellion. The slaves will be slaves still. The masters will be masters still. Shall I finish it?
Go on.
If any attempt is made by the slaves or their allies to gain their freedom, the Union Army will suppress it with an iron hand. That's our policy hereafter, Douglas. Would you like a copy of it to print in your paper?
You crushed the copy in your hands, and you walked towards home. You walked through crowds, but you were alone. You passed men milling on the streets, bewildered over the war. You heard some mutter as you passed.
Sure, I'll fight for the Union, but I ain't enlisting to fight to free no slaves.
What's the difference? Ain't fighting?
Freeing slaves ain't fighting. It's foolish.
I don't see it that way.
Well, this here Lincoln's gone too far. The war's a mistake. Come to terms with the Confederate States, I say.
That's sense. Let the South have the slaves. Let us alone.
We ain't fighting to free the slaves. Then why are we sending the boys off to fight?
Because of guys like him, that's why.
Who? Who are you talking about?
Him walking around free and easy. He's the cause of it. Look at him.
Yeah, let's show him.
Come on, guys. Get him.
Come on. Kick him.
There he is. Come on.
You ran through the streets that had been free to you for 20 years. You ran from men who thought they could be free only when you were in chains. You ran and your heart was sick. You ran home to your print shop, to Anna and your sons. They had been waiting to print your story.
Hey, Louis, George, get some water.
Dad, what happened to you?
Your coat's bloody, Dad.
What's the matter? Who did it?
Now, boys, stand away and let your father alone. He'll talk whenever he's ready. Sit here, Fred.
I'll be all right. Are the papers ready?
One edition, Dad. We waited for you to set up the headline story.
Did you see the president? You see Lincoln?
Boys, let him alone. He needs rest. Can't your eyes tell you what happened? You needn't ask. There are mobs roaming the streets, hating what the war's about. They've been after your father. You'll stay in and rest now, Fred.
Never mind, Anna. I'm all right. I'll write my story. Louis.
Yes, Dad?
Set the type. Let the new edition go out this evening.
And the story?
It'll be about the war. Headline it, "To Save the Union, Free the Slave."
Is that what the president said?
That's what I say. That's what the people will learn.
Was Lincoln the way you thought he'd be, Dad? Was he for freeing the slaves?
Not now.
Well, then what good is he to us? Is that the president you preach for people to vote for? Is that the man you lost your friends to fight for?
Louis, before you judge, listen. It's true he doesn't see the war right yet.
Then he's no different from the others.
He is different. He has a way of reasoning and sort of looking squarely at things. And he's free from prejudice. When a man's free from prejudice, it's not hard to show him his mistake. We've got the key to change him. We'll use it.
You watched the soldiers marching southward, but they brought back few victories. You knew men fought best when they believed in what they fought for. Some cried the war was about states' rights, but you knew a stronger cry underground, the cry of freedom for millions of people. You watched the soldiers march south, and in the morning, you decided to go with them.
I'm going down to the army camps, Anna. I can't say how long I'll be gone.
I heard you.
I don't want to leave you and the boys, but someone's got to go into the camps and report to the people why we're losing the war. Some of the generals know me. I can talk to them.
If you couldn't influence the president, how can you influence the generals?
If the state's policy toward the slaves is a right one, I won't be able to. If it isn't, we can report it.
Louis, George.
Yes, Farmer?
Yes?
You go on printing the papers as before. Print the stories I send back and keep the paper going.
They tried to stop us from delivering.
Deliver them anyway. Spread them as far as you can. I'll write what they're saying in the camps in Florida, Carolina, and Virginia.
Are you taking me with you, Dad?
Oh, it's too dangerous for a boy just grown.
Your time for danger will come, Lewis. Be ready for it. It's more important now that you deliver every paper we print.
Then you followed the soldiers. You saw how the war was being fought and lost. You talked to officers and men in camps facing Confederate armies. You wrote down what the general said in his tent while rebel cannon cut through the night.
We lost the Battle of Bull Run and we're losing this one. Why? Answer's simple. We need men.
Confederates outnumber us?
No, not that so much. The rebels have got slaves. Slaves are made to build their garrisons and fortifications. Slave labor allows them to put every fighting man in the field. They didn't have that.
There's a way to take it away from them, General.
What are you hitting at?
General Butler.
I said not to interrupt me.
I know, sir, but they're coming into camp again. We can't drive them off, sir.
You've got to drive them off. You know the orders.
Some of them won't go, sir. Not without...
Without shooting? Well, then shoot.
Yes, sir. I'll tell the guards.
The enemy coming through our lines?
No. Keep your seat. It's not the rebels he's talking about.
Well, who then?
Fugitive slaves. They escape by the hundreds now. Sometimes they come in bringing their masters' guns along. They swarm over into our lines, taking up with us.
And you drive them back?
I've got to. Sometimes I don't know if we're fighting the fugitives or the rebels. Sometimes I think if we gave them guns, took them in...
What would happen?
I know what would happen. General Fremont declared all slaves free after his first victory in Louisiana. The president reversed it. They called him down for it. I don't take any chances. I send them back, even if I have to send bullets after them.
You told that to the people through your paper. You went deeper into the lines of the army and told them of the colonel who went to war with one army and came back with another.
Your army has changed colors, Colonel. How did this happen?
I've brought back a full regiment, sir.
You left New York with white troops. You come to my camp 6 months later with black troops.
When we attacked at Baton Rouge, our men were shot up.
Shot up men don't change colors and march back.
I sent for reinforcements, sir. None came. The Rebs were attacking us on all sides. None of us expected to get out alive. We didn't have men enough to dig trenches. Then the fugitives came in.
You remember your orders about them?
Yes, I remember the orders, sir. And I also remembered we'd all die if we didn't get help. We took them in and gave them guns. They manned the trenches. When the battle was done, I'd lost most of my original regiment. So I trained the fugitives. 4,000 of them.
Your orders were to send them back to their masters.
As I said, sir, there are 4,000 out there with guns. They'll fight on our side or against us. I want them on our side.
You saw the staggering armies filled with fugitives. You saw some beaten and thrown back in hell for their masters, but still they kept coming, fighting their way from the slaveholders. And the men in the army were changing. You heard a guard say,
"You want my story, mister? They put me on guard to push back the fugitives, but I don't do it anymore. I let them come in. They come in garbed in rags or in silks, in shoes or no shoes, families and singles, and I take them in. I don't tell the general, but I take them in."
You talk to fugitives with their borrowed guns, walking along the roads, living outside the camps. You wrote of the night you walked along the road with an old ex-slave carrying his own gun to join a Union skirmish. You ask him about the war.
"Somehow I'm not much worried about how the war turned out. We come into the camp, they drive us out. But when there's too many of us, they can't. I've been in tin rage yet they say I ain't a regular army man. They say the war ain't for freedom. And what they shooting about? They say when the war's over, they send me back to the old master. But I say when a man get a little freedom, he never forget the taste of it. Oh, sir. Let them say what they want. I got a feeling how the war's coming out. Yes, sir. Gun give you that feeling.
You sent back the words of a woman who had led the Underground Railroad, who was leading scouts for the Union Army. You talked to Harriet Tubman, who'd been in a dozen battles. She told you how they were.
First, we see the lightning. That's the guns. And then we hear the thunder. That's the big guns. And then we hear the rain falling. Those are the drops of blood falling. And when it's time to take in the crops, it's dead men we reap. You tell your paper, Douglas, we're going to reap freedom out of this, or there'll always be thunder.
You put her words down so your sons could print them and carry them to the people at home. You put down the words of fugitives and generals, officers and men who wanted to find a way to make the war worth fighting and the Union worth saving.
Tell them we can't win a war against the fugitives and the Confederates. It's got to be one or the other, Douglas. One or the other.
Tell them back home, Douglas, that 1,000 freedmen on our side is better than 1,000 slaves helping the rebels.
Tell them we've stopped driving them out of the camps. Tell them we're changing our mind about what the war is for. Tell them we're changing our mind.
And you took the words to the papers and to the tall man in the White House. He called you in and listened.
You've made a good report, Douglas.
What are you going to do about it, Mr. President? We're not winning the war.
No, the war's not going well. We've been careful not to make a false move, but I believe I know a mistake when I see one. I'm ringing for the Secretary of War and his aide. They've read the reports. I'll put it up to them.
Did you ring, sir?
Yes, tell Seward and Mr. Johnson to come in. Tell them Douglas is here.
Yes, Mr. President.
My cabinet never agrees with me, but the facts and figures you've shown me are pretty stubborn things, Douglas. If this policy is not holding the Union together...
Do you want me, Mr. Lincoln?
Has General Grant reported yet, sir? What's happened?
It's not Grant's report I want to discuss, gentlemen. It's Douglas's.
Oh, you, Douglas.
Yes, you've read it. You know how the war's going. I am thinking, gentlemen, that we've made a serious blunder in not taking Negro troops into our ranks.
You know why we can't do it, Mr. Lincoln?
Well, we'd lose support in the border states, Mr. President. They'd be right.
Without them, we're losing the war. And that's what I'm concerned about. I know we've got thousands in the North who have no idea of the real meaning of the war. No one was prepared for it. Our manpower's dwindling. You know how seriously. Gentlemen, I am thinking of asking Douglas to help recruit as many regular Negro regiments as he can.
Slave regiments, sir? Oh,
that would never work, Mr. President.
Our best commanders are already working them. They're ahead of us. Thousands are already fighting on our side. We're late in recognizing the value.
There'll be 100,000 deserters if slaves come officially into the army.
Then we'll replace them with 100,000 fugitives. Mr. Douglas thinks the Union will never prosper unless their labor and strength are turned to our side, and I agree.
Mr. Douglas thinks we can never win without emancipation.
He'll be demanding that next.
He's demanded it already, gentlemen. The cause of the Union comes first. We started the war with no intention of touching slavery. Yet slavery is the root and kernel of the war. It's not free men alone who'll determine whether we'll have a union. It's 4 million slave workers now on the side of the Confederates trying to get to our side.
Our side's holding its own, Mr. President. A few setbacks
it's
are not...
It's not the setbacks that have decided me. It's plain arithmetic. With the labor supply the Confederates have got, we wouldn't win even if we sacrificed every white man in the North. Our chance is at the future with the fugitive slaves and the slaves behind the enemy lines. Hereafter, we'll welcome them into our ranks. I'm asking Douglas to start recruiting their regiments. I believe regiments of trained freedmen will have an unusual effect on the nerves of the slaveholders. It'll be our strongest blow.
You went out to build up the strongest blow. You went to the platforms and halls and spoke to the fugitives and freedmen. You talked to those who had been driven out of the camps. You asked them to come back. You spoke in the streets and they listened.
Freedmen, slaves, fugitives, the hour is coming when the United States
will be a land ruled not by one race, but by one people. When the first shot was fired on Fort Sumter, I said it would liberate every man in America, as well as save the Union. Till now, they fought the effect of the war without touching the cause. Hereafter, we strike at its roots. Join the fight. Forget the past. It's now or never. Better to die free than live slave.
You urged 50,000 to join the regiments, and you went home to write your paper, and you found you'd recruited two men you hadn't counted on. Anna was home running the paper alone.
Anna? Where are the boys?
Wasn't it enough to send others to fight? Did you have to send our sons?
Louis, George, they've gone.
I didn't wait for you to come back to join the new regiment.
I see. They've done right.
They were the only children I had. You know the rebels' law against them. If they're captured, they're hanged.
Don't talk that way, Anna. What I said for others, I meant for my own sons, too. They'll be fighting to free us all.
Isn't slavery still the law of the land?
We're changing that, Anna.
Who'll change it?
It's a changed thing already. The war's changed it. Lincoln will see to that.
He's given his word that he won't touch slavery.
He's given his word to save the Union. The only way to save the Union now is to strike down slavery. I think Mr. Lincoln will see it. Now let's see our sons off to war.
You saw your sons march off in the new regiment of General Putnam. You watched them go, and you went back to your printing press to make it clear what the war was about. You told the people what you saw in the war.
We're fighting for something incomparably better than the old Union. Freedmen, fugitives, we're fighting for unity of ideas, unity of sentiment, unity of object, in which there shall be no north, no south, no east, no west, no black, no white, but a solidarity of the nation, naming every slave free and every free man a voter.
You told those who still doubted the war's end.
Whether men so call it or not, the war for the Union is the war for emancipation. There'll be freedom for all or chains for all.
And you told them about Lincoln.
You can trust this man from Illinois. He may be slow, but he's not a man to retract or retreat. When he moves forward.
While men fought for the idea of one nation or two, the president invited you to call on him, and you told him...
I prophesy doom if we go on with slavery, Mr. Lincoln.
And I'm beginning to believe you're right, Douglas. There's pressure to make peace now, but it would put the bondsmen back further than they are.
Would it save the Union?
After a fashion. We're not winning the war, Douglas. We still need more troops, more volunteers. We need workers to raise food for the armies and man the factories. Those you recruited weren't enough. Can we get more?
Yes. We can recruit more.
You know how many?
3 million more. 3 million more new citizens. With an Emancipation Proclamation, the trickle of fugitives will become a flood. Emancipation. That's the key to winning the war and uniting the nation. Even the Confederate generals seek laws to free slaves. Now, if the Union Army calls for emancipation first, the rebels can do nothing but surrender. You can tell your cabinet that. They have the key to crippling the Confederacy. The key is freedom. Proclaim it.
I may. When the reports come in from the field this week, when I've had time to think this through further, it may be done.
Mr. President.
Yes?
A message came in from General Putnam's regiment, sir.
Yes? What is it?
It's been nearly wiped out at Fort Wagner, sir.
Fort Wagner's soldiers wiped out?
Yes. That's what the general said.
I'd like a pass to visit the grounds. My sons were in that regiment.
Yeah, I'll give you the pass, Douglas. When you come back, maybe we can finish our talk about the key to the Union.
You left, and you forgot the fight to free 3 million people. You stumbled through the battlegrounds looking for signs of two sons. In the morning, you found one. Wounded, feverish, it was Lewis. He couldn't see.
Lewis, do you know me, son? I'm your father.
You, father?
Yes, we're taking you home. The doctor says you can go home now.
But what did Lincoln say? You never told me.
Lincoln hasn't said yet, son. But I believe when you're well again, you'll be in a free land.
You moved about the fields and swamps and found your sons and worked in the camps and helped dig the trenches until the enemy was stopped. Then you came home and were going back to your press and printing when the president called you late at night. He'd been up writing. He said,
"My friends say I'm slow, Douglas. My enemies say I move too fast. I wanted you here tonight because we'll move faster than we've done in 100 years.
Yes?
I have a proclamation.
Does it free the slave?
It saves the Union. Your proposals were right, Douglas. No human power can stop the war without emancipating the slaves. Even my cabinet can see this now. Shall I read the proclamation?"
And he took the thin paper with words strong enough to free millions. And he read,
"I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, by virtue of the powers in me vested, do this first day of January 1863 proclaim that all persons held as slaves within the state in rebellion against the United States shall be henceforward and forever free. And upon this I believe to be an act of justice warranted by the Constitution, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind and the gracious favor of Almighty God."
And you folded the paper and went home to your printing. There were still soldiers in the streets and cannon in the valleys. But you knew the war was won. It was the beginning of a nation of free people.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of Frederick Douglass, brought to you by the Chicago Defender and WMAQ's Department of Education and Public Affairs. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham, and the production is under the direction of Homer Heck. The cast included Weslin Tilden, Ernie Andrews, Boris Applin, Oscar Brown Jr., Maurice Copeland, Don Gallagher, Art McCoo, Cliff Norton, Fred Pinkard, and Jess Pugh. The singer was Greg Pascoe. Richard Shores composed the special music, which was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next week for another in our series on the Negro in Democracy, Destination Freedom. This is WMAQ, NBC in Chicago.